Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston, and just your host Ken Johnston. Unfortunately, our good friend Father Douglas McKay is still on the mend from the flu and will not be joining us today unless by some miracle he happens to call in at some point. But we'll pray for Father when we get down into the prayer requests. We want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your prayerful and financial support that's kept us on the air for over 40 years. And it's only because of your support that we're able to bring you shows like the ones we have for you today. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else who comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at our website, ourhouseministries.org. We're also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. Reminder that our Matt Talbot Shrine is alive and well in St. Gabriel's Church in the South Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. We're open on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 9 until at least 5 o'clock, a little bit later on those days sometimes. But one of the things that will be new is the parish would have a rosary that they would do on noon on Wednesdays. And I had a call last week from Sister Anita asking if we could join forces and they would move their rosary to 4 o'clock on Thursday afternoon. So the church will be open. The shrine is open. If you happen to come down on Thursdays, you stick around at 4 o'clock and you can join us in that rosary. It would be great to have you. So let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the following is a prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you. St. Maximilian Kolbe and Venerable Matt Talbot, pray for us. St. Monica and St. Mark G, pray for us. St. Francis and St. Clair, pray for us. And all the angels and saints, pray for us. Also want to add a golden Hail Mary here for Father McKay. The flu he's got, another friend of ours had it the week before him. It seems to take about 7 to 10 days to run its course. And hopefully Father will be up and around real quick. He's been had it for just over a week now. So we'll pray that Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I'd also ask your prayers for myself. I will be having surgery again next Tuesday. And last time I had similar surgery, similar area, I was wasn't allowed to drive for 2 weeks. So it's a good possibility, though I know I won't be here next Wednesday. There's an outside chance I'll be here the following Wednesday, but I wouldn't count on it. So Maureen always does a great job of getting the appropriate recordings put on for the saints anyway, and then some of the better interviews that we've done. So if you try to call in the next couple of weeks and don't get through, that's why. There's nobody here. So this is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join the conversation, 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, you can reach us at 888 888-343-2484. That's 888-343-2484. As always, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment when we come back from the break at the bottom of the hour, but it's pretty moot if we don't get any calls. So fortunately, we got quite a few calls last week, and I'll give out the numbers again before we go to the break at the bottom of the hour so you can call in. You know, if God's touched you in a particular way recently and you want to witness to our listeners as to what God's done in your life, and you know, I say it all the time, when we see what God's done for others, sometimes it helps us to see what God has done in our own lives, and some of the things that we may be taking for granted are often for other people are miracles. And you know, being in the business we're in and hanging with the people we get to hang with, we get to see these odd or God moments all the time, and God lets us see some of these miracles. So if you've participated in one or been around one recently, by all means, give us a call. We are currently in the fifth week in Ordinary Time and racing towards Lent already. So the saints in this week's calendar, on Monday the 6th, it was St. Paul Mickey and Companions. On Friday the 10th, St. Scholastica. And on Saturday the 11th, Our Lady of Lourdes. And I thought we would kick it off with Paul Mickey and Companions. I think I misspoke the other night about Paul Mickey. I don't know that they were crucified near water and what have you. I was trying to think of whether or not it was that movie that was out by Martin Scorsese recently, if that was the same story. I didn't have a chance today to go back and look. But Paul Mickey and the Companions were Japanese martyrs, and it was in the 16th century that, you know, like other countries where they want to do away with all of us Catholics, that they came into Nagasaki and started to persecute the Catholics. And Paul Mickey and 25 others got wrapped up in that, and they weren't all of one denomination or order, if you will. Paul Mickey was a Jesuit. There were Franciscans. There were lay people and secular Franciscans. And so they all got caught up in this. Overall, it was about 37,000 people this is talking about the atomic bomb. Anyway, so this was in the year 1597, 26 martyrs of Japan, all crucified on a hill. And like I said, priests, brothers, laymen, and various orders, including secular Franciscans. And I wanted to just read for you what Brother Paul Mickey had to say when he was about to be executed. He writes, "The sentence of judgment says these men came to Japan from the Philippines. But I did not come from any other country. I am a true Japanese. The only reason for my being killed is that I have taught the doctrine of Christ. I certainly did teach the doctrine of Christ. I thank God it is for this reason I die. I believe that I am telling only the truth before I die. I know you believe me, and I want to say to you all once again, ask Christ to help you to become happy. I obey Christ. After Christ's example, I forgive my persecutors. I do not hate them. I ask God to have pity on all, and I hope my blood will fall on my fellow men as a fruitful rain." And it was shortly after this that Japan pretty much wiped out the Catholic Christian faith, or so they thought. And what was interesting was that missionaries would return to Japan in the second half of the 19th century, the 1860s. And when they first got there, there was no trace of Christianity at all. But once they started to get established, they found that there were thousands of Christians that were living around Nagasaki. And they'd actually preserved the faith. Now, they didn't have priests and bishops and what have you. They probably didn't have any form of the sacraments. But just one generation after another would pass down their faith, their belief in Christ. And, you know, what a shock that must have been to those that were there. And I don't know that we're nearing that now in this country, as much as they seem to want to drive us out of the public square and, you know, do away with anything that has anything at all to do with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't think we're quite to that point, but we can pray, certainly pray to these martyrs to intercede for us, that we're able to keep the faith and pass that faith on to our children and grandchildren. And, you know, the one line in here that that Paul Mickey says, ask Christ to help you to become happy. And there's so many miserable people that are walking around today. I think sometimes it's a lot easier to be down than it is to be happy. It may actually take effort to be happy. It doesn't take any effort at all to be miserable. I can turn to misery on a dime and find hundreds of things to complain about at any given moment. But we have to choose to be happy. Those of us that are in recovery, in this, especially in this area, there's a card that a lot of folks in AA and some of the other 12-step programs may get their hands on it. But there's a line in there that has a quote from Abraham Lincoln that says that we're only as happy as we make our mind up to be. And how true that is for us as Christians, because, like I said, it's so easy to be miserable, to look at what's going around, whether it's in our own families, in our community, in our state, in our country, in the world. It can be real easy to be miserable. That's why I don't watch the news anymore. I get what I believe to be some pretty good sources for news and people that I think I can trust, and none of them are on TV. Well, maybe one. You know, if you listen to the talking heads, you know, you think the whole world's going to hell in a handbasket, and yet we know better. I don't know how God's going to right this ship. I don't know exactly what he has in store or when he's going to do it. I've heard anything from, you know, be careful on Sunday night because the demonic stuff that's going to happen during halftime of the Super Bowl, to it's got to come in before the end of the year. You know, and of course we all know that even Jesus said that he didn't know the day or the hour. And so the point is that we always need to be prepared, and you know, don't hesitate or delay in building up on that relationship with God, because we don't want to do that just so we're saved from some calamity that's going to happen. We do it because that's the one thing, the only thing, that's going to make us truly happy. I was blessed on Monday night to have an opportunity to speak to some seventh graders in my own parish, and the class of the sixth graders at the prep program came as well. And, you know, I had an opportunity to talk to them about Matt Talbot and decision-making and the faith. And, you know, one of the things I started out with and tried to emphasize was the serenity prayer. And I'll get into the details of the conversation and what we talked about in just a second, because we actually have a caller on the line. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Ken.
Uh-oh. It's Fruitland Bob. We marked you absent last night. Brother, are you in Florida now?
I'm supposed to be on the auto train right now, but it got delayed.
Ah.
Tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah. Nagasaki, it's funny, but, you know, Hiroshima and Nagasaki were picked to drop the atomic bomb on. In 1968, during the Tet Offensive, when they attacked Saigon, they attacked the Cholon neighborhood specifically. They wiped out the Cholon neighborhood of Saigon because it was all Chinese. And the Vietnamese hate the Chinese, so they took it as an opportunity to kill all the Chinese. Well, Nagasaki and Hiroshima were the two most Catholic cities in Japan when the atomic bomb was dropped. And I don't think that was a coincidence.
It's interesting. I didn't know that. What I did know, and I think we talked about it 2 weeks ago, Father McKay brought up Maximilian Kolbe. And when Maximilian Kolbe took his mission to Japan, he ended up in Nagasaki, and he built up his community on the side of the mountain, and nobody knew why he went over there. And then when the the atomic bomb was dropped on Nagasaki, everything there disintegrated except for his compound.
Wow.
The Franciscans that were there survived it. And so it's, you know, it's odd. We were just talking before the show today with the horrible pictures and things that we're seeing coming from Turkey. And, you know, in one spot you got a, you know, in the middle of destruction, you have a blessed statue of our Blessed Lady that remains intact. And I don't know how many times we've seen that recently with some of these earthquakes and what have you that go on, and somehow or other these things that are special to God, whether it's churches or statues of the Blessed Mother or what have you, for whatever reason, they seem to be preserved.
I would love to be able to say that I could face martyrdom like Maximilian Kolbe and is it Paul Mickey?
Yes.
Yeah. But I could stand before a firing squad or be beheaded. But, you know, and I would like to hope that I would. But they went through horror, you know? I mean, and they maintained, you know? And Paul Mickey reminds me of St. Paul, because St. Paul, you know, he had street cred, you know, just like Paul Mickey had it, because he was a true Japanese. And St. Paul used to say, I am a Jew, and I am a Pharisee, and I am known for my, you know, devoutness and my zeal. And yet, this is what I'm about to say now about Jesus, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, they had street cred, yeah?
Amen. And, you know, I've said it often, and I go back to that scene of all the guys in the orange jumpsuits kneeling down on the beach, and I forget if it was Iran or Iraq or one of the Middle Eastern countries, all about to have their heads lopped off. And I say, like you, I probably would have knelt there for a minute and then get up and start running down the beach and hope that they shoot me in the back or something. But I think before you're put in that situation, that you're given all the grace you need in order to accept whatever it is that's about to happen to you. I think there has to be a special grace that God gives each of those individuals personally. With a reassurance that, you know, this is going to last for seconds, where, you know, the glory you're going to receive in heaven is going to be for all eternity.
Right,
and I think
it's
still hard for us to fathom what that would be like until you're actually in that situation. But the flip side of that is that we're all called to that. And it not necessarily the red martyrdom, but the white martyrdom, you know, to give up this world and give ourselves totally to Christ. So, what time are you supposed to get the train tomorrow now?
5:00.
All right, brother.
I have to be in Washington by 3:00. They load the cars by 3:00.
Gotcha.
And then it leaves the station at 5:00.
Very good.
But two quick things. If nobody calls in, is it moot or is it mute? And secondly, am I allowed to call back for odd but God?
Sure.
All right.
Getting a better spot. It sounds like you're talking through a tube or something.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I will. I'll try to find a better spot.
All right, brother.
Very good.
We'll talk to you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye now. So, whenever we talk about the martyrs, that's what, you know, comes up in my mind, the same thing that you know, Bob was talking about, that fear. And I just have to believe that there's a grace that comes before, not only before that, but before any challenges that we face in life. We may not accept the grace. We may not look for the grace. We may be in such a sinful state that grace just doesn't get through, or we don't believe we're worthy of it or can't accept it. But that's the beauty of faith and having a prayer life and having things like, you know, the examine prayer, or if you're in a 12-step program, that 10th step where we review our day. And it's in going back and looking through the various events in our life that we can see where the grace to get through things always comes before that thing itself. I mentioned earlier I'm facing surgery next week, and God already knows the outcome of that. I need the grace in order to withstand whatever it is that, you know, occurs, whether it's, you know, pain afterwards or what have you. But it's all going to work out according to God's plan. And if I trust God and have faith in God, whatever, you know, happens next week is going to be in some way or other for my benefit. I know that. Now, it may change come, you know, Tuesday or late Monday, because I won't know till Monday evening exactly what they're going to do on Tuesday, just because of the nature of the surgery. But, you know, as of right now, at this moment, there's no fear. That doesn't mean there won't be fear come Monday or Tuesday, but having already been through it and knowing if it's so, you know, similar to the surgery I had back in October, I know that it's nothing that it, that I can't handle, that God and I can't handle together. So that's the martyrs, Paul, Mickey, and his companions. And again, just the idea that they were able to keep the faith for a couple hundred years, or almost a couple hundred years, without any without the benefit of priests and bishops and those to lead the church, that, you know, it was actually the lay faithful that kept it for themselves. And I think before Bob called, I was talking about having an opportunity to talk up with some seventh graders on Monday night, and we may not get to that now until after the break. We're going to go to the phones again. And let's get the right buttons here. Hello, Chuck.
Hello, Chuck. Hello, Ken.
Hey, how are you, brother?
I'm doing very well. One thing that when I heard you and Bob speaking about Nagasaki and Hiroshima, and you're talking about the miracle, like where the chapel was, or the how do I say it, the whatever edifice, the monastery that had been started by Colby,
right,
Maximus, yeah, and all the trauma that was all around it. And I know I'm kind of nervous because it's the first time I've called in, so please bear with me.
Yeah, no problem. We're talking on the phone. That's all.
Sentence fragments, but I'll get my point across. But I guess I'm trying to weave together. I see a commonality here in that you're talking about life being miserable, and we have to choose not to be miserable. And Jesus wants us to be happy. But how do we express happiness in the midst of all this going around us, whether it be living through Hiroshima and Nagasaki, or having to face surgery in your case, or in having to deal with just playing on life on life's terms for those of us in recovery? And it is a choice. And I found for myself that if I can go back to a little bit when I had surgery. I'm not facing anything as brutal as yours coming up, but I had a shattered wrist, and they had to do some, they take bones from my hips and move them over to my wrist and plate them in and all. But anyhow, I was still in very early recovery, still full of fear, and I couldn't believe that they were strapping me down, and all I could see was the crucifixion. I was laying down there, and my arms were strapped out at my sides. And I looked at the clock, and the surgery happened to be happening on Good Friday. I had shattered the wrist a couple of days before, but they had to wait a couple of days for the swelling and all that stuff to go down before they would do it. And what had happened was, I look at the clock, and it's Good Friday, and it's coming up on 3 o'clock, and my arms are pulled out at my sides as they're strapping them down to the tables. And I thought, oh my God, this is horrible. I'm going to die. And to be clear, there were no drugs involved or anything like that. I mean, they had not set up any lines. They didn't inject me with anything yet. They were scrubbing my arms. They were just cleaning it and everything. And I had this fear come through me, like, I'm going to die. This is not a good omen. 3 o'clock on Good Friday, and I'm going to be knocked out. And all of a sudden, I says, God, don't let this happen. And I heard these words. I know Father Doug talks about loquacious and all, but this is the first time. And I heard these words come to me. It was good enough for me, wasn't it? And when I thought of that, I felt so guilty that I was afraid and I didn't trust. And all of a sudden, a great peace came over me. And I just felt like whatever God wills, you know, it's going to happen.
That's right.
And I was able to enter into the surgery, and they actually let me watch it. They put mirrors up so I can actually watch it. Yeah. And I was calm enough so that I participated in the surgery rather than freaking out. But, I mean, it was God's grace. I was on the edge of panic until I called upon God. And I think that's part of it. I can choose to be miserable and make everybody else's life miserable. Misery loves company. So therefore, and I lived my life miserably until I got into recovery. And it was Jesus, it was scriptures actually that helped me pave the way into my recovery. So I see that conundrum, and I never knew I had a choice to be happy. It was always, what's the next thing to do? What do I have to do now? What do I have to do now? Oh, this went wrong. My plans are wrong. I have to pivot to do this. I have to do that. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with them? And it was me against the world, and I was miserable. And until I found out in recovery that I had God on my side, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And today I choose to be happy. Or, as it says, somebody gave me a book, Enjoy, how it says, Enjoy Your Precious Life. And it was all about the difference between transient happiness, like I go to a wedding, and I'm happy for a little bit. We dance, and we're very happy for the married couple and all. But when life hits, I can still remain joyful and have joy despite the emotional distress that I'm going through, despite a divorce, despite illness of the child. I'm mm-hmm. still able to maintain a balance of joy despite that. And I never knew I could until I got into recovery. And until I don't know whether I should say I found God or God found me.
Yeah, I think it's both, you know. But, no, that's great, Chuck, and, you know, well said. And we, you know, we have an opportunity every day to make that decision on whether we're going to be happy or miserable. And like you said, and I hadn't mentioned, was that, you know, when we're miserable, it's not just us. We just have a way of bringing everybody down with us. When we're in misery, we want everybody else to be in misery. And I think that the opposite's true as well, that when we're happy and put a smile on our face, that it can have an impact on others. Just like somebody mentioned last night, you know, when we do these things, that, you know, 9 other people are affected, right? When we get into recovery, 9 people get better with us. And when we're out there doing our thing, we drag those same nine down with us. So I appreciate it, pal. We're getting close to the bottom of the hour. I'm going to have to take a break, but certainly appreciate the call. Don't hesitate to call again.
All righty. Thank you, Ken. Good talking to you.
Yeah, you too, brother. Be good. So I want to give out the phone numbers one more time before we go to the break. We'll give them out again when we come back. But 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or call us toll-free 888-343-2484. That's 888-343-2484. Again, if God's touched you in a particular way recently that you want to share with us, and again, you know, this idea that, you know, God touches each of us certainly more often than we probably recognize, but sometimes it's that real obvious one that we can't help but know that God was trying to intervene in our lives. And by witnessing to one another what God has done in our lives, you know, I think it can give other people hope that God wants to do the same in their life. Because I know for a fact that that's just the way He operates. And, you know, especially the folks that call in on this show, some of us have been, you know, lower than low. And God has seen fit to, you know, bring us out of those depths and allow us to be decent human beings. And in some cases, you know, have the gift to be able to touch other souls, whether it's through radio shows or witnessing in a 12-step meeting, or just going to talk to somebody and bring up their spirits. It's amazing what we can do when God lets us or allows us. So that said, we are at the bottom of the hour, so we're just going to go ahead and take a short break. And when we come back, we got at least one caller on the line. Tom, we'll get to you as soon as we come back. But any others, if God's touched you, we want to hear from you. 610-527-2906, 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Linda Purcell. I listen to In His Sign Catholic Radio every chance I get. Kathleen convicts me with the words of our Lord. Kathleen lives in His love, and for me, just the opportunity to listen to her is my road to Emmaus. My heart is burning for our Lord Jesus. I am set on fire each time I tune in to In His Sign Catholic Radio. Why don't you give it a try, too?
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston. And again, I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign. Just a reminder that we have a great website, inhissign.com, and most of the shows get recorded and uploaded usually on Thursday or Friday following my being here on Wednesday. So I try to get them all uploaded. If you go to inhissign.com and click on content and then podcasts, you can see a whole list of those recordings. Also, quick rundown on what's going on with Calyx meetings here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia and nearby Wilmington, Delaware. We meet every Tuesday in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia at our Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson Street in South Philadelphia. We begin at 6 o'clock with a short adoration period, followed by Mass, and then our Calyx meeting usually gets started around 7. On the third Tuesday of the month, we go over to St. Gabriel's Church, and we start at 6 o'clock as well, but we'll have a holy hour from 6 to 7 with exposition of the Blessed Sacrament. Confessions are heard, a couple of prayers to get us started, prayers to Matt Talbot for his intercession, and then we close the hour with benediction and then have Mass. So that third Tuesday this month will actually be February the 21st. And again, all are more than welcome to join us. The primary motivation for that Mass is for those that are in recovery and those that should be in recovery, and then all the folks that love them. So if you or someone you know is struggling with addiction and you want to come celebrate Mass with us, you're absolutely more than welcome. The unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown meets on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock in their parish center. Their next meeting will be next Thursday, February the 16th. The unit at Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Media meets on the second Saturday of the month. They attend the 5 o'clock Vigil Mass and then a Calyx meeting afterwards. They will meet this coming Saturday, February the 11th. The unit at St. Luke the Evangelist in Glenside, my home parish, meets on the third Saturday of the month. We go to the 8:30 morning Mass and then a Calyx meeting after. And the next meeting in Glenside will be on Saturday, February the 18th. The unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month. They start with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by their Calyx meeting, and that will occur on Saturday, February the 25th. And in nearby Wilmington, Delaware, we have a Calyx unit that has Mass at 6:15 p.m. every Wednesday at St. Matthew's, and a Calyx meeting afterwards. So we also have a good website for Calyx. It's calyxsociety.org. The contact page there, if you have any questions or comments, that actually comes directly to me. So if you have questions or need to know more about Calyx, by all means go to calyxsociety.org and use that contact page and reach out. All right. Let's go back to the phones, and we got Tom. Hello, Tom. Tom? Let's go over here.
Following up with Duck and Bob, they're so, those guys are so articulate. They have such a great message to say, and I feel like, okay, they're on base. I see if I can get on base now. I'm down in Wilmington. You're coming in loud and clear down here.
Very good.
I just thinking, following up with what the guys have been talking about, that feeling of joy, and we all know we have to give back to the people that really get it in Calyx and AA. You know, the people that get it is just to get out of themselves and give back. And, you know, we all know it, and also talking about so many people that we know that are ill or having operations, and we have to be aware of that. And when we hear people that are going, you know, under, you know, we don't just abandon them. We don't just say, okay, we'll wait for them to come up again, you know. And I just want you to know, I put Father McKay to work the other day. I gave him a call with Marie Devlin yesterday morning. I was over there, you know, she's one of our Franciscans, and I was going to see her and giving her communion. And it was interesting that, you know, we're really on fire right now with our Franciscan Third Order, Matt Talbot, there at St. Gabe's. And remember, you know, Matt Talbot was a Third Order Franciscan. That's for many, many years. And we're coming from all over the area. We have people in Philadelphia. We got people from Jersey. We meet the first month, the first Monday of the month. And it's a great group of people. And we're all giving back. We're all helping each other. And you know, we all do our own things in our own parishes, but we come back to unite to give us ourselves a good strengthening to go out there and continue to help people. And that's where the joy comes in. That's where the joy comes in. So, you know, we got to work at it, and we always know that. But I just wanted to say that that the joy comes from you know, giving back. And it's so, you know, you mentioned about the news. I mean, it's so depressing. It's so, so depressing. The best thing we can do is this, is just, I try to watch it more on a summary basis and go that way. So yeah. Good talking. And
yep, you too, Tom. And, you know, Tom's the formation director for that Matt Talbot fraternity. And as you mentioned, they meet on the first Monday of the month. Anybody's more than welcome to come down. You don't, when you come through the door, you're not automatically signed up. You can come down for a few months, and you, it's like any vocation, discern whether or not that this is what God is calling you to. So they gather at 6 o'clock on the first Monday of the month. That'll be this coming Monday, right? And it was actually this past Monday.
March.
Yeah. First Monday of March, 6 o'clock Mass, and then a fraternity meeting that follows. And again, if you have more questions, you can get in touch with me, and I'll put you through to Tom, and Tom can answer any of the questions you may have about the Franciscan fraternity. Thanks for the call and the reminder, Tom. I appreciate it, pal.
Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. I should also mention that Tom's talking about giving back, and, you know, that's what God asks us to do when we receive the gifts from Him. They're not meant just for us. They're meant to be shared. And, you know, one of the gifts that Tom has been for us at Our House Ministries, the guy's just a painting fool. He's been down there painting now for, I think, over a month, maybe close to 2 months. And painted our chapel, painted our social area. He's been working upstairs above the chapel now in a couple of rooms. There's like an apartments up there. And the man just goes to town with a paintbrush. But it's one of those gifts that I think we receive when we realize what God has done for us, that, you know, it's what drives us to do things for other people, to be Jesus for other people, to be that witness. And I think one of the greatest gifts you get when you do these things is that, you know, people ask you why you do it. You know, you don't have to. Tom didn't have to paint the chapel and the social area. He could have stayed home with his wife. He could have done any number of things, but he chose to do that. And I think all of us, when we've been gifted, and if we truly grateful for the gifts that we've been given, we realize that we only get to keep that gift if we give it away. And it's not necessarily in the, you know, giving away exactly what we got, but we all have different talents, different abilities. They're God-given talents and abilities. And when we put them to use to bring about his kingdom, and that, you know, we can bring about his kingdom anywhere and everywhere. In the worst of places, the worst of situations, we can bring the kingdom. We can be the kingdom for somebody else. And oftentimes that leads to questions and conversations. It gives us a chance to witness to them, you know, what God has done in our own life. It gives us a chance to evangelize, perhaps. And it's just amazing what happens when those situations arise and we're ready for the ready to answer the bell, if you will. And we were just talking about this the other night. Actually, it was last night, talking to a friend Mike after the Calyx meeting, and how he was in a situation where he was talking to somebody, and he had gotten all these words earlier that day and didn't know why he got them. And next thing you know, he's in a situation where he's being asked questions and he has all the answers. And it goes right back to scripture. And Jesus tells his apostles, you know, they're going to come after you. You're going to get persecuted. They're going to want answers, but don't prepare your answers now. Wait until the situation actually happens and I'll give you the answers. I'll give you the words to use. And, you know, I mentioned before we went to the break, you know, in prayer and doing the examine prayer and a 10th step or whatever you want to call the whatever form of the prayer you use before you go to bed at night and reviewing your day. That's one of the things you can look at is in these interactions, whether there are things that happen that you know weren't of you or from you. Father McKay says it all the time. Nothing good comes from us. It comes through us. All the good that we do comes from God. We're just the hands and feet and messengers of whatever it is that God needs to get through to other people. And like I was sharing with these sixth and seventh graders the other night, I think the greatest sin that I commit today are the sins of omission, where whatever gifts that God has given me and I'm being asked to share them with somebody, and I may not recognize it, or I may be in my mind thinking about something else, or, you know, intent on accomplishing something else, and I get interrupted. And, you know, sometimes those interruptions are times when God has put people in my life, you know, and right in my path that somehow or other need my help. And that help can come in the form of words. It can be a ride, you know, to wherever they're going. It can be an evangelization moment, you know, whatever it is. God is trying to get me to do something for somebody else. And most of the time today, thank God, I recognize that, and I can put whatever it is I'm doing to the side and focus on the individual that's right in front of me. And I actually learned that in the business world before I was able to apply it in my faith world. And, you know, I worked in IT for 40 years and would sit in my cubicle, and my face was always on the screen. I always, you know, doing something, writing emails, reading emails, programming, doing whatever it was that I was doing. And oftentimes, people would come in and plop down next to me and, you know, start talking. And I'd look at them every couple seconds to, you know, let them know that I knew that they were there. But I'd only be, you know, paying half attention to them because, you know, I was trying to get something else accomplished. And I finally realized that, you know, I wasn't being just with them. So I've tried to get into a habit where if I'm on my laptop or I'm in the middle of something and, you know, somebody comes in and wants to chat, that I, you know, take my eyes off the screen and try to look at people directly in order to have the conversation at hand. And oftentimes that's a lot more exciting and beneficial, not only to them, but especially to me in those interactions. So why wouldn't I try to get rid of the distractions? And, you know, today between technology and whether it's, tablets, smartphones, computers, whatever it is, TVs, and just so plugged into these screens, it's like we don't know what to do sometimes without them. And especially our young people. I mean, it was to watch them constantly in this technology and not realizing the harm that it's doing and how dark it is. And, you know, we're starting to see some of that. You know, God's really starting to shine a light on some of this stuff that's going on. We were talking before the show today about the Grammy Awards. I didn't turn it on. I only saw some of the stories after and some of the images, and I thank God I didn't turn it on. The darkness that's on the, you know, in the technology and the apps that, you know, so many people are using, especially, you know, social media and the bullying that goes on. My wife works in a school, and I hear some of the stories about things that go on there. And it's just insane. And the world that I grew up in, it was far from perfect, but it was, I think it was nothing like it is today. And, the parents today, you know, God bless them. And, you know, I know part of it's because they're involved in some of the same things. You know, kids always imitate their parents. And, you know, a lot of the people that we meet that are in recovery, you know, come from families where there's been, you know, long lines of struggles with alcoholism or addiction. And so we try to imitate our parents. They look like they're having a good time. We want to do what they did. And so somewhere along the line, you know, you got to break that chain. And, you know, the idea of everybody having to put their phones away when it's time to eat a meal, we're having some family time where we're forced to have conversations and the kids are forced to talk. Talking to some kids the other night, I kind of feel bad because some of them can barely put a whole sentence together. And these are not, you know, kindergarten and first and second grade. These are some older kids. And, you know, trying to get them to break away from whatever they're set out to do and to focus on what's right in front of them. And even more importantly, to focus on God. And, you know, we said at the beginning of the show in reference to Paul Mickey, you know, where he says that, you know, it's only through Jesus that we're going to be happy. You know, find God and you'll find happiness. And so many people out there are just trudging around in misery because they don't know God. I think the good news is they're going to know God pretty soon. I don't know in what way, in what form. I don't know how bad it's got to get. You know, watching what's going on, we mentioned earlier what's going on over in Turkey with that earthquake and the number of people that have been killed in those earthquakes. You know, or more of them coming. The constant threat now with what's going on between Ukraine and Russia and additional countries getting involved. And, you know, it was bad enough just sending all kinds of money and sending good money after bad. But now with multiple countries, you know, being willing to send tanks, that war has to escalate. It's not going to de-escalate when you start sending additional methods. And, you know, it only takes one person to be pushed over the brink to, you know, bring about a nuclear war these days, which is scary. I had a friend of mine the other day send me a link, you know, here's where you can get your potassium iodide, you know, and, you know, in case there's a nuclear attack. And I guess that's what you need, so that you preserve your thyroid or something. And, you know, people are scrambling. People are spending millions and millions of dollars on survival food. And I've had friends that have contacted me, you know, should I get this or should I get that? And it's like, I'm not a prepper per se. I've got enough food around and it's fresh enough to get by for a few weeks, maybe a month. But I have to firmly believe that God's going to provide. The messages that continue to come from our Blessed Mother, from approved apparitions all around the world, the Blessed Mother is appearing more now, I think, than she ever has in history. And it's always the same message. Repent and turn to my son. Repent and turn to my son. Repent and go to my son. And there's lots of people that are doing it. My home parish at St. Luke's in Glenside, everybody's more than welcome. Thursday nights, Eucharistic Holy Hour from 7:30 to 8:30. Father Wackerman exposes the Blessed Sacrament. We'll pray a rosary and a Divine Mercy chaplet. We have some beautiful musicians that come in and offer worship music in between. And I think even he's surprised at the number of people that are coming. And we were talking about it a little bit last week, and the surprise is the number of men that are showing up. And I think people are starving for it. They know that this world's not right. They know that that things can't continue on the way they are, just because it will implode. And coming to realize that God is the answer, that our one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church is the answer, that the sacraments that Jesus instituted before he left us are the answer. And when we have that answer, it allows us to deal with anything, to cope with anything, to know that God is on our side, and that, you know, sure, there can be periods of pain and suffering, whether it's, you know, physically from illness or emotionally because of things that, you know, family members and loved ones are going through. But if we turn to God, if we turn our will and our life over to God, if we do Father DeLindo's great surrender novena and give everything to God, God's going to take care of it. And usually not in the way that we expect them to, which is always interesting to watch. And, you know, the perfect example of how it can start in somebody's life. And maybe, you know, try this. I've got a bunch of the surrender novena cards, and I've got a son that'll be 25 in July. Got his degree, in a job he hates, and he's applying for jobs left and right. And, you know, not a regular churchgoer anymore, unfortunately, but I saw him this morning, and I had one of the surrender novenas with me, and I was like, hey, bud, why don't you just try praying this for 9 days? And he looked at it and smiled, and, you know, maybe I will. And it's those little things in life that we do, and that wasn't an idea that I woke up with this morning or what have you. I just happened to be getting ready to and packing my stuff up to go down to Our House Ministries, and I gotten a bunch of the these cards with various litanies on them and what have you, and one of them happened to be the surrender novena. And it was the last one I had at home, and sometimes I hate giving up that last one, but he needed it more than I did. And I have no idea what the impact is going to be. Maybe on the 10th day he gets a call from one of the teams that he's been applying to and gets a great job. And maybe not. But in the course of the 9 days, hopefully he, after saying, you know, Jesus, I trust in you, take care of everything, at least 10 times a day, that after saying it 90 times, it may rub off. And it's just in those little things that we do that can have you know, such a great impact on not only our loved ones, but everybody that we come into contact with. One of the things I do want to mention, we're not going to have time to go full-blown on another saint, but this coming Saturday is the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes. And it's a great opportunity, a great time to watch the Song of Bernadette again. And I just remember, you know, watching that and the kids at Fatima and a lot of the saints that Mary would appear to. It's never the highfalutin and real important people or supposed, you know, people that you might think are real important in life or in the world that, that Mary comes to. It's always the humblest of humble. And it's because of that, you know, and watching the Song of Bernadette. And here's this, you know, young girl who sees the Blessed Mother. Nobody believes her at first. And they want to, you know, priests want to lock her away, get her to recant and what have you. And she knew what she saw. And brothers and sisters, you and I know what we see day in and day out. And we see what God has done for us. And we can be witnesses as well. But I think a number of parishes this weekend will be having an opportunity for anointing of the sick, especially with Our Lady of Lourdes. I know Patrick and I and Anna were down at the Miraculous Metal Shrine in Germantown on Monday for Mass and Novena. And this Saturday at noon, they'll be having a Mass with a healing opportunity to follow. So if that's something that you're in need of or interested in, by all means, check out the shrine. But there may be opportunities in your own parish in order to have that experience. But, once again, in this crazy world, God is doing everything he can to try to break through with us. Those that listen on the last Wednesday of the month when I have Peter DePalma on and we talk about the gift of the divine will, you know, it was saved for these times, even though Jesus would visit Luisa Picaretta the end of the 19th century, the beginning of the 20th century. Like other works that saints have done, and Luisa's not a saint yet, she's still a servant of God, but folks like Teresa Avila, Louis de Montfort, and the writings that they had that would get locked away, and they wouldn't get to see the results why they were here. And the same thing I was just reading yesterday, you know, with Luisa Picaretta, she was upset that, you know, Jesus was making her write down every single word that he said to her and told her many times, you know, you can't leave out a single word because that single word could be the difference for somebody. And but Jesus also let her know that she wasn't going to see the fruit of her labors while she was alive, that it would only be from heaven that she would be able to watch. And, you know, in 1996 was when, Father Celso, who I've had on, and a few others went into the Vatican archives, and they call them the secret archives when they're actually the archives of the popes. But they went down with Benedict the 16th, who was not the pope at the time, he was still Cardinal Ratzinger, and pulled out the Book of Heaven, the 36 volumes that Luisa wrote, the first 19 of which already had an imprimatur and a Neil Obstat. And, you know, Jesus said that this was written for this time. It wasn't written for folks 100 years ago, and it wasn't written for folks 100 years from now. It was written for us right now in this moment. And so it's a great time to be alive, to watch what's going on around us. God's going to intervene one way or the other. We'll see if it happens Sunday night during the Super Bowl. But if not, we just need to trust that, you know, God has our best interests at heart and will do just about anything to preserve our faith, to preserve our trust in him so that we can all one day be together in heaven. After all, that's why we were created, to spend all of eternity with him. So we're just about the top of the hour. My 5 o'clock guest, Father Wade Meneses, is already on the line. And when we come back, we'll be talking about his book called Catholic Essentials. So don't go away. We'll be back.